Hello and welcome to GPTV on Tuesday, the 8th of November. My name is Philip Kingston.
I'm Gary Peer. And Phil, there's some heat in the air now.
Can you feel the bounce in the way that I just introduced?
Well,
you know, we're heavily into spring. We've got a mountain of work to do before the end of the year. But I am just up and about.
Well, I admire your energy levels, Phil, and your fitness, because you did, I think, 7 auctions on Sunday. And I know it's taken a little while to recover, but you seem to have bounced back.
Do you know what? Because I love showing you up for your late night terrible habits.
I love my lack
of energy, lack of enthusiasm.
Not at midnight or 2 o'clock. I'll outdo you at 2 a.m. anytime.
So Sunday I did a 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30.
Yep.
And then I got out of bed Monday morning at 5:30 and went to gym.
Is that right?
Yeah. How about that?
There you go.
I had to front to the sales meeting late because after the gym session, I thought, maybe shouldn't have done that.
I don't reckon those wheels were going too fast on the bike at 5:30 on Monday. But good on you for pushing yourself, Phil. That's between the two of us, we're pretty fit.
Between the two of us. If you average our blood pressure and our heartbeat and the
amount of exercise we do, between the two of us, we're doing a lot of exercise. We're actually doing the right amount between the two of us.
Quick question, because the viewers are interested. Mm-hmm. Spring Carnival, how's it been for you?
Do you know what? I worked out what I am. You know, I worked it out. Because, you know, you sort of try to picture yourself, like, where am I situated here? And I worked out on the coyote.
You're the coyote.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I'll tell you what the coyote, you know, do you ever watch Roadrunner?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember the coyote was always almost got the Roadrunner, right?
Yes.
And every time, and people almost end up feeling sorry for it. Like, just get the Roadrunner once, right? And that's how I am with chasing a win. Like, I came, like the Melbourne Cup, you know, the trifecta, first, second, third. I got first, third and second. I got the wrong order.
Yep.
Paid $16,000, but when you get the wrong order, it pays nothing. So I lost on the Cup. I lost on the Oaks. I lost on Emirates Day. I lost on the day before the Derby Day. It has been a sick carnival.
My creative juices are now flowing.
Yeah.
So the next horse that you have, and there's always a next horse for you because you're that sort of guy that it's gonna. I'm chasing that roadrunner. Why not call it Go Coyote?
I might do that. I've got one now that's just been called Hampton Palace, has just been named. Hampton Palace.
Is that named after your investment properties in Hampton?
Oh, I didn't want. I want to keep that a secret, Phil. But yeah, the word's out.
Hampton Palace?
I'm not sure because I've been with other owners and I gave it a stupid name. The father's name is Russian Revolution and the mother's name is Percentage. So obviously, it's called Hampton Palace.
Makes sense. Yes, of course.
I don't know. But so, anyway, Evening Glory is the Evening Glory. Wait, because people follow my tips. Evening Glory is the one that's running next time.
Evening Glory.
That was cleverly named after smart missile from something to do with the evening. So that was quite well named. But anyway, that could win next time. That race.
It could.
Highly
unlikely.
Good chance.
But it could. If it's in the race, it could win the race.
Well, this is my luck.
Your horses are generally the Stephen Bradbury of horses, aren't they?
They sometimes
the only time
right.
they
exactly
ever
right.
win is if the first 10 got disqualified or shot.
Well, you say that because it was supposed to be running on Wednesday and it was a race was about 8 horses. Then it got to 5. Then like 2 got scratched at the barrier. I could have walked it around the track and got some prize money, Phil, but they scratched it as well for some reason. So anyway, that's the racing story.
So,
I'm passing the hat around.
So, bit of news in, bit of media controversy about the Spring Carnival, about how numbers were down at the Melbourne Cup.
I felt it. Racing Oaks
a declining thing?
Yeah.
It's a massive industry in Australia. And I must say, the overhead footage taken via drone or helicopter of Flemington, right?
Yep.
I'm looking at that and I'm thinking to myself, that is a massive parcel of inner suburban land.
Are you thinking apartments and houses?
I've got to tell you, viewers, for those of you that are not racing goers, for those of you that don't care about horse races.
There's always Moonee Valley, there's always Sandown.
I look at that and I think to myself, what is that worth? And if you think about it, there is an entire suburb there, Gary. Even with that terrible wall built right around it that they flooded all of Flemington, but not the racetrack.
That is sacrilegious. I don't know if you've seen the video going around about that guy that abuses the protesters, by the way. Have you seen that video? I have to send it to you. Oh, it's very vulgar, Phil. But look, it's become a bit controversial, the races, you know, the cruelty to animals aspect. There are people that object to that. But I think also Victoria, you know, like I went to the Cup last year and it was probably one of the worst race experiences I've ever had because it was so vacant and empty.
Horrible.
And docile, yeah. And vanilla and dumbed down. It was just awful.
Tumbleweeds, yeah, blowing, oh, through
the... It was just terrible. Yeah. It really was bad. And this year was a bit better. But look, Victoria, I think we underestimate how... Victoria's been knocked around a lot, you know, with the whole COVID and the lockdowns and the fear and the alarmism and all the crazy stuff. We're not quite back to where we are, but we are moving in the right direction to get back. Yes, the races, like the Birdcage, I had a look in there, wasn't the same with all of the models and movie stars and, you know, the footballers all parading around. It wasn't like that at all.
Yes.
So, yeah, it wasn't quite the same, but it will get back there because Victoria is a resilient state that bounces back, Phil.
My tip, viewers, in our lifetime, we will see the most beautiful subdivisional development there.
No, don't say that, Phil.
And
don't
I think that would be a great thing for Melbourne to absolutely take. And this sport of kings, this elitist sport, Gary.
Elitist.
It could be the most.
It's for the common man, Phil. It's for every person. It's not elitist. Horses can take you anywhere around the world. And look, it also lost a bit of the international edge because it didn't have quite the international horses this year. You had Francesca Camani, you know, wandering around, and she's magnificent. But it didn't really have the same international flavour. It didn't have all the.
Speaking of which, did Google the richest horse races, thinking that the Melbourne Cup was still the richest race. Well, it's not, Gary.
No.
The Everest pays more.
And we know we're friendly with the owner of the horse that won the Everest, so we're on to Jonathan with Giga Kick.
That's a bigger race than the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, all the corporates.
Wait for this. So the Melbourne Cup, what's the purse?
I think it's $7 million.
$7 million. Yeah. So Everest, $15 million.
I think something like that.
The Sortie Cup, Gary. Yes. The Sortie Cup.
Yes.
And goodness knows what that racetrack would look like in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're not really starting with much other than sand. The Sortie Cup, Gary. $30 million.
I wouldn't mind getting to the Sortie Cup one of these days, Phil.
I'm surprised you don't have a horse in the
Sortie Cup. I
don't
think there's too many yahoos like me running around the Sortie Cup, Phil. I think it would be very civilised. And, of course, the Queen, you know, the Great Lake Queen, she loved her racing. She had her horses. But, look, you know, that's the beauty about racing. You can have a horse that's maybe not an expensive horse, have some fun. They can take you anywhere. You don't know.
Let's jump into what's going on in the real estate market because there's too much trivial banter going on here, and I know our viewers tune in because they want to know what's going on in the property market.
Some like the banter, Phil. Phil, let's review some of the sales because it has been an active time. Now, this is an interesting time of year. A couple of weeks ago, we said second last drinks at the bar, You can still get in this year. And many people are. It's going to be late this year, Phil. We're going to be really busy on the 17th and 18th of December.
Well, the calendar, I think, is quite friendly. We've got three full weekends before Christmas Day.
Yeah, we have.
So I think that the first three weekends of December, well, we always know the first and the second weekend of December are great.
Correct.
But sometimes the third weekend can push right up against, you know, the everybody closing. But this year, we've got three solid weekends.
The 17th and 18th in particular are going to be very busy.
I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah, three solid weekends, you're right. Phil, we love those twilight auctions and we had a very enjoyable one at Aruna Road.
Yes.
We had two bidders going for that property. Congratulations to the buyer.
And a good crowd, Gary. I think we had 40 or 50 people there. Yep. So
very nice crowd.
6:30 on a Thursday evening. Well, stay tuned. You're going to see a lot more twilight auctions in Melbourne. Yeah. We've always done them. I think it gathered a bit of momentum as a result of COVID.
It did.
But now I think it's very much part of the calendar. We're doing them Tuesday nights, Wednesday night, Thursday nights, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. 7:30s, 8s, you know, with daylight saving, Gary, you can go all the way through till, I reckon, 9 o'clock.
You could actually. Why not? I still want that midnight auction. I still want a midnight auction.
Pre-COVID, when they announced the lockdown, it's going to happen on Friday, we brought all of our auctions into this centre.
Yeah, we did.
And we ran about 10 auctions.
Yeah, just rolled them out.
One after the other.
Rolled them out.
It really taught us that the buyers don't need to wait for a Saturday or a Sunday.
I want a midnight auction, Phil, before my career's over, and I think I've got a long time before that happens, although some people might not like that. But I reckon a midnight auction. I'm into it.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about 48 Aruna Road. Philip, a magnificent property. We're lucky enough to represent some of the best people on the planet with some of the best properties on the planet. A beautiful home. The range there was in the $5 million range, you know, $5 to $5.5 million. Was sold, suffice to say, it satisfied the vendor's expectations and requirements. By the way, just before we get onto that, a lot more houses, we identified this in the sales meeting yesterday, Phil, a lot more houses selling in the range now.
Yes.
So all the cynics about quoting prices, of course, it wasn't uncommon in a rising market when things were on the way up that many properties sold outside the range. But now many more inside the range.
So I wonder whether Consumer Affairs is getting any complaints now about, we didn't go to the auction because the range was
1 to 1.1.
So we didn't go to the auction because we thought it would sell for 1.2. And it sold for 1.50 million. This is outrageous.
Yeah, it's terrible what's happening here. We're being misled by the agent because they're actually selling where they say they're going to sell. So a lot more selling within the range, which is a function. Is it because of compliance? Maybe it is. Or is it because of the settled market? Maybe it is. Maybe it's a combination of the two. I'd like to think so, Phil. But anyway, Arena Road again.
But here's something interesting on that, Gary.
Is it interesting?
In a rising market, right, what would happen is we'd give a range and the market would just overshoot that range.
Yeah.
When the market's falling, we're trying to dance the dance about we'll put the range there because we know we'll get interest. Sometimes we lift the range.
Sometimes
we drop the range. Yeah. So
it's complex, Phil.
I don't know what the answer is, Gary.
And some people like to just, you know, say, oh, this is the situation and make these sweeping statements about underquoting or this or that.
Yeah.
But you don't always know. Every case is different. Every vendor is different. Every property is different. Every campaign is different. Every buyer is different.
And I think Consumer Affairs has done a pretty good job with this statement of information.
I think so too.
And the SOI.
Oh, so I reckon so.
And viewers, you're welcome to send some feedback in. But I think that it's a much easier system.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly, whenever I'm looking at property in Victoria, anywhere in Victoria, I can just go straight in. I don't have to ring the agent. I don't have to send an email. I can just click on agent's SOI. You know, you go to New South Wales, you go to Queensland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're shooting in the dark.
I mean, Queensland's a whole different
story. They won't even say anything.
It's almost impossible
for an
agent. You just
say, what's the price guy? And they just say, John, or something. You go, what's John? No.
In Queensland, they say, oh, it's an auction. And and I go, yeah, it's an auction.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, we can't give you a price.
I won't say
So you have to go through this ridiculous charade where you say to the agent, okay, Mr. or Miss agent, Ms. agent.
Or however they might identify.
Correct.
I identify as a coyote.
If there was another apartment just like this on the floor, below or the floor above.
Or next door to this.
What do you think that would sell for? I mean, this is the, and you've got to go through it every time. It's just an absurdity.
It's crazy.
So I think that the consumer in Victoria, shout out to Consumer Affairs,
done. And they're well guided.
Because at least they're spending a lot less time having to ask questions that are completely available.
And I've got to say, Phil, we've got a good complaints process here. Never do I get a complaint about a property because we've got an educated market. And I reckon very rare. In fact, we had one complaint recently about someone said, oh, your properties are going for more than your estimate. And we addressed that complainant and dealt with it because and proved that it was not so. But, you know, I just never get the complaint about some property that was underquoted because our vendors are all prepared to sell in the range, or they tell us that. Many properties go for more under competition and buyers are smart enough to see that.
And
so,
where we do have really good interest, viewers, you'll see this happen a lot. Where we do have really good interest,
we'll
lift the range.
Yeah, to guide people as well as we can. But look, 2 at 43 Hopkins Street, I've got to say, Philip, that did sell beyond the range. We did lift it, but still not enough. We lifted it we started at 1.2 to 1.3.
On the market, I'm presuming, within the range.
Yeah, absolutely. The vendor was happy to sell.
All right. 125. Well, market forces taking over.
125 to 135, sold for 1.418, which is like 70 grand above the range. That can happen. I had a lot of fun in Florence Street. Phil did a very long auction with two buyers at Florence Street, one that just saw it on the day or maybe the day before.
Happens a lot, viewers. Somebody rolls up on the day.
And what I love is, by the way, this auction started at 12.30. What time do you think I left there?
1.29.
How about 1.42?
Really? Did you have
over
another
an
auction?
Hour? No, I didn't, thankfully. But over an hour. And, you know, the buyer who missed it said to me, you know, that's the longest auction I've ever been to. And I was like, I didn't say it, but... like, just bid faster. Right? It's my fault, you know, that it went so long. Like, I was saying, look, hold back your bids because I want to make this a long
take
auction.
Take your time.
Yeah, I want this an hour and a half. I don't want to get on the start of early quaddy or anything like that. Let's just start, you know, late, take our time.
Have you ever, on a busy auction day, although actually silly thing to ask you because you've never had a busy auction day, but on a busy auction day, have you ever weighed yourself in the morning and then weighed yourself in the evening?
No, I don't have the vanity to think of doing something.
It's not
like
about
that.
Vanity, Gary. It's about understanding your physiology. Okay. And the point to that story is that if you've got a busy, heavy auction workload where it does go on and on, you actually lose quite a lot of weight.
Do you know what? I've done it on some quiet days where I've gone and had a schnitzel sandwich at lunchtime. Then I've gone and had a cake in the afternoon and some coffee. I've done that. And you know what? That's not a very good formula.
That's not vanity.
No, that's not vanity. Yeah. No, that's obesity, actually. Anyway, that's another story. We sold in Domain Street,
South Yarra.
Yeah, well done to Jeremy Rosen. Sold for $466,000.
Shout out to Joel Sir, who I think handled that.
He did.
Joel Sir sells properties from $400,000 all the way to $10
million. $10 million. Philip, three at 100 Hoffman Street. Talking about long auctions. I think you had a long one there.
Long one there.
Price undisclosed, but it sold within the range, Philip. $1,170 to $1,285 was the range.
Yes.
Very competitive auction. Jeremy Rosen's, I went and saw him at 666 Inkerman Road. Philip, no longer the devil's number.
No.
The number of the beast is 666, but that was a no beast. That was a beautiful home. Congratulations to the buyer and seller alike who satisfied each other in the sale and purchase of that home, 666 Inkerman Road. Jeremy Rose did a great job selling for $1,950,000, just above the range, Phil. 26 Takapuna, well, that sold just almost right in the middle of the range at $1,623,000. Now, there's interesting, auction. You had three buyers within $3,000 of each other, and none of them were prepared to keep going.
Yeah, no.
It was amazing.
It sometimes makes you wonder, doesn't it? But, you know, at the end of the day,
it's their choice.
People have their limits.
Yep.
One thing I would say about having a limit that you've got to be flexible when you, if you can be, and if you're right up against your limit, so be it. But you've got to be flexible because the sort of properties we sell, Gary, there's not 20 others exactly the same.
That's the problem.
So if it's a property you like and
go
it ticks all the boxes,
yeah.
you know, if you're going to be there for anything more than a really 5 years, it really doesn't make much difference.
Give a bit more, Phil. Sometimes you've got to give a bit more. Murray Street, Caulfield, popular apartment. If you want to know what one looks like, check this out. 202 at 127 Murray Street, Caulfield. Three bidders competing beyond its range, selling for $792. And what hasn't sold yet is 197 Kuyong Road, which I think is a great buy.
It's a great buy.
At $1,950.
Really
a beautiful block
buy.
Of land with a great house.
Agreed.
Does require some updating, but what a great property. Philip, we've got 27 auctions coming up.
27
auctions. We never even talked about the clearance rate. I think,
67% for Gary Pirin Associates against an industry average of 61%.
So we're about 10%
again,
above the industry.
Ours is the accurate figure. The industry average is compiled from only those reported auctions, Gary.
So I don't think we'll have the boast theme when we're only that much ahead of the industry, but it's good to be ahead of the industry. Interesting too, Phil, the volumes have dropped back a bit.
Yes.
And in Sydney, where we were, and visiting a number of top agents in Sydney, we noted, Phil, their volume is down by about 50%.
Yes, Gary. Thankfully, we're not down by as much as that.
No.
But, you know, it's an,
they
it's
had
an,
a bigger
it's an
party.
Interesting time, Gary.
They
interesting
had a
time.
Bigger party through the pandemic because they were able to have everything open, Phil.
You know,
we had to shut things
I've
down
got to
here.
I tell you, we should have opened an office in New South Wales.
Yep. Not too late.
No.
Let's do it.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly right. Phil, 13 Testar Grove was one of those twilight auctions that was due to go to auction but never quite got there. Phil sold before auction, so congratulations to the most wonderful vendor and buyer of that property. Been in the same family, Phil, that house in Testar Grove for something like 50 or 60 years, extraordinary. Let's run through. We have got already, just in a couple of days, Wurrail Street, Carnegie. Phil Graham Callan is auctioning his one bedroom, one bathroom, one car space. But you are going to be, my friend, at number 30 Carrington Street or Carrington Grove in East St Kilda.
Love that house, Gary. Four bedrooms, three bathrooms, plenty of off-street car parking. It's got a self-contained apartment that integrates beautifully with the home. So it could be one single home, but it's also got opportunities for, you know, a delinquent teenager or a delinquent parents-in-law or something like
that. Or delinquent parent.
That's right. But what a great property and a great street.
Into the weekend, Phil, we've got 25 auctions. And on Saturday, I think we're in 11 or 12 suburbs. We are very, very busy. You can have a little sleep in on Saturday morning if you'd like to. I, on the other hand, I've got to go to Hyatt, Philip, at 10 a.m. Now, I know this apartment. I've been through it. It's in Graham Street, or Graham Road, I should say, right near the station, above the Woolworths, Philip. It's got a beautiful view, actually. You wouldn't believe it, but when you can look to the east and actually see hills and mountains from Hyatt, and you've got the beach on the other side, of course, you're in a great position.
Who would have thought, Gary? Two bedrooms, one bathroom, one car space.
And affordable, around that 400 or low fours. What a good buy that is for two bedrooms. Philip, double auction action. auction at 10:30 a.m. We're going to be in Grange Road, Ormond. Lee or Samuel auctions this one.
Dizzy and Jack are handling this property. Three bedrooms, one bathroom. And that also has off-street car parking for a couple of cars. That's a really good property. And that sort of property is just getting more and more popular.
Graham Callan doing one of his two auctions on Saturday morning at 10:30 in Belgrave. Not the suburb, but Belgrave Road.
Ably assisted by Danny Dyson. Two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and two basement car parks. Great spot there, Gary.
We do a lot in St Kilda Road, in Queens Road.
We're
very busy there, and we're back there. Michael Jones is somewhat of an expert in that pocket. This time, 804 at 82 Queens Road.
Together with Matt Morley, three bedrooms, and they're hard to find in this price range, Gary. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a tandem car space. So great opportunity, great views from there as well.
It's triple auction action time at 11:30. We're going to be in Bentley East this time. I have the auction on as Philip. After my Hyde auction, I'm going to hop over to Bentley East.
And you're going to be there with our director, Leon Goose. And fit, ably assisted by Mandy. That's four bedrooms, two bathrooms, a lock-up garage, another car space, great property, great address.
You may or may not be auctioning this property, but gee, it's a spectacular home. That's 14 Quatquatta Avenue. Mm. Have a look at this incredible
home. Gary, if it's not sold, come to the auction, because this property is just incredible. First of all, Quatquatta is an amazing address. Comes off the Glen Ira Road village of Rip and Lee. That's as many as seven bedrooms, four bathrooms, plenty of off-street car parking, the most incredible pool, the most incredible pool house. That is inner suburban living at its most luxurious and grandest.
Phil, we did have double auction action at 12:30, but one of those properties has already been sold. So let's move on to Wando, Philip, number 8 Wando Grove. Great looking property. You're the auctioneer.
Gary, it's my pleasure. Joel Sir, Daniel Fisher, Darren Krongold handling that. That's a wonderful three-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bathroom town residence. Parking for two cars, lock-up garage. Pretty fabulous.
Triple auction action at 1:30 p.m. This spectacular apartment Michael Jonas is handling, Jeremy Rosen's auctions in Dandenong Road.
One bedroom, one bathroom, one car space, Gary. That's fabulous. Look, check the timber floors in the kitchen. Beautiful.
And check the facade of this next property, Philip, 371 Kurong Road. What a fine looking home. You're the auctioneer for that one.
Gary, I'm looking forward to seeing Joel, Idan and Darren there. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, off-street car parking, beautifully renovated throughout. That's a house you just move into and get on with life.
Leo Samuel brings down the hammer and brings down the curtain on his final two auctions on Saturday. One of those is in Glantley Road. This has been popular, Phil.
Gary, Aviv, Leo's brother, and Mark Wynn, who's a recent addition to our crew.
Welcome, Mark.
Who's doing a great job.
Sure is.
Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, plenty of off-street car parking, gorgeous garden areas, beautifully renovated. That's a great property.
As is the final auction on Saturday, 301 at 4:05. Nearham Road, Carnegie.
Yes, where Lior is weaving his magic again together with Aviv and Noah Briggs. That's two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and one car space. That is a wonderful property because it's got the best balcony terrace.
We have triple auction action on Sunday morning. Let's move on to Sunday, Philip. Octavius Avenue. You are the auctioneer for that fine-looking property at 10:30.
Gary, you may remember this property, but it was built by
Benny Genovese. I remember.
Great Italian builder.
Yeah, lovely guy.
I haven't seen him for many, many years.
No, decades.
I hope he's well.
Yep.
But three bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms, and a double carport there, Gary.
And that's where you can walk through Wilkes Street, go straight to the station.
Not through Wilkes. No.
Payne.
Octavius. Payne Street.
Is that Payne Street, the back's onto it?
I think so. Payne Street. Yeah. But with the new, by the way, the new East Caulfield Shopping Centre, where Coles has just opened opposite the racecourse, Gary. Opened last weekend, I see. Go and check it out.
It's nowhere near Wilkes Street. Of course it's Payne Street. I'm sure what planet
you're
I was on
silly,
there.
You silly, silly man.
Silly duffer. Anyway, Philip, 20B Latrobe Street, that one kicks off, if not sold, before at 10:30 a.m.
I absolutely love this home, Gary, and I love the people that built it.
Yeah.
Leon Guzenfitter and Leo Barr are handling this property. Four bedrooms, three incredible bathrooms, lock-up garage. Check out the parquetry floor. This one is built to last for centuries.
Now, part of our 10:30 triple auction action is this property at Nowron Road, Phil, a great location. Jeremy Rosen's auctions, Glenn Bricker,
Mark Kirk and Maureen Messero handling this property. Two bedrooms, one bathroom, one car space, beautiful timber floors. That is a really good property, and I love that address.
And after our 10:30 auctions, Philip, we converge and meet together at 2 at 4 Kent Grove in Caulfield North.
What Gary, what a beautiful home. Hard to find something like this. It's a single level home, one of only two. This is the rear property, so it's nice and private. You're right in the epicentre of the best part of Caulfield North, and that is three magnificent bedrooms, 2.5 gleaming bathrooms, a double lock-up garage. You know, that's the sort of thing that when you haven't got one, you've got 10 people that want it.
Absolutely.
So somebody's going to be lucky to snare that.
And that's part of Triple Auction Action 11:30 time slot, Philip. We're going to be also in Cadby Court, a great address. And the Samuel brothers are riding into town selling that one.
They are, Gary. That's two bedrooms, one bathroom, one car space, wonderful garden areas, lovely parcel of land. And Cadby is a fantastic location, runs off Cambrook Road.
I love the look of this fine home, Philip. One at 437 Inkerman Street, going off at 11:30. Nikki Janover is handling that.
Gary, that's a bit of a humdinger, isn't it? Check out the photos there. This is just beautiful in every possible way. And that, of course, is three bedrooms, one bathroom, two car spaces, gorgeous courtyard gardens. It's fabulous. I love that.
Triple auction action at 12:30. We're going to be in Hawthorne Road times two, Philip. 203 at 20 Hawthorne Road is my auction. I'm meeting Leon Guzan Fetter to do it.
And Leor Bar, Gary. One bedroom, one bathroom, one car space.
At the same time, just across the road, Philip, or just up the road, 201 at 288 Hawthorne Road, Caulfield this time.
This is Aviv and Noah, and this is two bedrooms, two bathrooms, one car space, really good property, an extra large apartment and a beautiful building.
You won't be able to attend, Philip, any of those auctions because you're going to be doing your own auction at 54 Bialba Road.
Looking forward to that, Gary. Glenn, Mark and Maureen have been handling that property. Four bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, double lock-up garage, north-facing garden, swimming pool, the most immaculate home and the loveliest people. I reckon if you buy this house, you're going to know that these people have looked after it so beautifully.
Sometimes you just get that vibe, don't you? Double auction action at 1:30 p.m. Philip, I've got the auction honours meeting my son Daniel in Inkerman Street.
Together with Brandon Overclade, three bedrooms, one bathrooms. That's a really good looking property. Polished timber floorboards, period features, and a great spot.
One of my favourite streets in Caulfield North happens to be the cul-de-sac that is Alton Street. Philip, you are going to be doing an auction there at 1:30.
Some beautiful houses in Alton. There's a very prestigious street, and of course you've got the tram on Balaclava Road, so it's a really convenient location. That's a fabulous solid brick family home that's three bedrooms, three bathrooms, double undercover parking on approximately 812 square metres of land, Gary. Love the position, love the parcel of land, love the house, love the opportunity.
I'm going to pop over and see you in Snowden Avenue, Philip. This is a very substantial property on a very beautiful block of land with a swimming pool all north-facing at the back, Phil. Wonderful street, Snowden Avenue.
Gary, got lots of opportunities with this because, you know, it could be a parcel of land, but I think it's a fabulous family home with five bedrooms, three bathrooms, and plenty of car parking there for two cars or even more. But Mark, Glenn and Maureen have loved handling that property.
A substantial property in a great street, Philip, at 3:30, bringing down the hammer. This time, I should say bringing down the curtain, hopefully the hammer as well. This time it's going to be as easy for you, even though it's your last auction of six. It's going to be easy as 1, 2, 3, and that's 1, 2, 3 Hotham Street, Balaclava.
Gary, Nikki Janover and Aviv Samuel are combining efforts there to market this beautiful four-bedroom, two-bathroom home, complete with off-street car parking for a couple of cars. Love those period homes. And Hotham Street, it's just a great location. Yeah. Probably does really well on Hotham Street.
It sure does, Phil. Also, probably a good time to speak about an auction we've got in Clarence Street in Caulfield South coming up, Philip. This home is not going this weekend, but it's going next week during the week. But a good property to talk about because it's going to be next weekend on the next week during the week on the 16th of November, Phil. That is next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Gary, Maureen Mathereau, Benjamin Rothschild have combined for this one, five bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, double lock-up garage. Absolutely magnificent.
Very unusual to get a home of five bedrooms with its own frontage. Good, nice little compact block of land there, Philip, but also situated in Clarence Street, a great location. We've got a few others just to review quickly. 5 Raphael Street, which is a forthcoming auction. These
love
are some beautiful
Raphael
properties.
Street, four bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, a lock-up garage, beautiful parquetry floors, Great spot, right in the epicentre of Caulfield North.
We've got a couple of special homes to offer in Fitzgibbon Crescent, number 42 and 43, Philip. They're across the road from each other.
42, lovely Art Deco style property, Californian bungalow, bit of mixed of the two, 3 bedrooms, 1.5 bathrooms, off-street car parking, swimming pool, you know, good block of land, but a really lovely, comfortable home.
Yep, these are just a couple of forthcoming auctions that we're featuring because they are special homes. 43 Fitzgibbon is one of them,
Gary,
too.
Incredible. That's on the north side of the street, with 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, double lock-up garage, circular driveway. I really love that house. I did a video tour there and just loved being there.
We're finishing off on a high, Philip. This home, number 44 Langdon Road, is a beauty to behold. This is one of the grand offerings of Springfield.
Knockout property, this one, Gary. Yep. A 797 square metre block, so almost 800 square metres. The big family home, 4 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, double lock-up garage. That is a fabulous property.
One of the upcoming special homes that's going to hit you in the market this
hit
spring.
You in the market.
Hit you in the market this spring, Philip. That is a big wrap on a very long, extended version, but we are Springfield. We're right in the middle of it. It's all happening. We're still time to sell this year if you want to. There's some great properties out there to buy. It's all happening in this now quite warm, lovely November in 2022. That's a big wrap on GPTV. I'm Gary Pearce.
I'm Philip Kingston. Have a fantastic week. See you next.